friends and family. Welcome to the 52nd episode of The Pulse. We are so excited that you are here. I am Shay Wilbur, Pastor Troy's media director and media director of all things within this house. And I am sitting in his beloved chair today because he is off on a much needed, well-deserved vacation. And guys, he's actually taking time to unplug, which I'm so proud of him for. I mean, it's like he never stops. And I am so glad that he's actually taking time to just decompress. And of course, he's with some good friends of ours, Pastor Darren Stott. He's with some others, and they are just having a great time. I also heard that Pastor Troy might be finishing his latest book, and I don't remember if he's talked much about it on here yet, so I'm not going to spoil it, but just know Pastor Troy is working on a new book, and it will blow your mind. Like, it is unlike, I can say this, 1,000%, it is unlike anything that has come out of this house thus far, and I'm just in awe of really of what it is. And you guys will understand when he shares that with you. But that's just a little teaser. We miss you, Pastor Troy, if you're watching. And today's going to be a great day. It's going to be an awesome show because we have Tony Merkel joining us via Zoom, the host of the Confessionals podcast. Sorry, I got so excited. I'm like throwing my mic. I'm punching my mic around. But he's the host of the Confessionals podcast. He's into all things blurry. Him and Pastor Troy are always, when they're together, it's like hard to keep up, to be honest, because they're just, man, like ping-ponging off of each other with all their crazy experiences. So I'm excited to learn more about Tony today and how he got into all of this stuff in the first place. And hear some updates from him. So he'll be joining us in just a little bit, guys. But we're going to be talking about all kinds of supernatural stuff today. Speaking in tongues at the U.S. Capitol, what does that have to do with anything? Well, you're going to find out in a little bit. And we're going to talk about what it means to be at a supernatural crossroads for us, for you, for all of us as a nation. We're going to dive deeper into that. And I just believe that this episode is for you. If you are joining us, there's a reason you've tuned in today. There's a reason you're here watching. And God has you here for such a time as this. So don't turn away. Stick with us because it is going to be a great, great show. So let's start off by welcoming the amazing crew in the studio, Rebecca and Pastor Chris. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Doing good.
How are you?
It's been a good morning.
I'm good. Has it?
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen you guys much because I've been in meetings. You guys are in meetings, but it's been good.
And we have 400 kids running all over.
We
over.
Do.
All over.
We have VBS this week at Open Door Church, and that means 400 screaming, literally screaming kids. And it's actually so fun.
You know, it's so VBS fun. When you walk in. So I got here 6:30 this morning. I walk in the hallway. There's a giant beach ball and a laundry basket in the hallway.
There you go. Only during VBS.
It's a VBS.
Yeah. Enjoy. It's we're doing like a whole Pirates theme.
Yeah.
And man, the kids are loving it. And it's so much
it's
fun.
Amazing.
So there are literally 400 kids just outside the doors there. So at any given moment, you might hear them screaming. You may hear them. And that'll be fun if you do. But yeah, let's welcome our viewers. Who do we have joining us?
We got Sarah Spencer. I know we are having, everybody is still chuckling in, but we have Dylan. We have Rick Fisher from Hillsboro. We have Linda. We have Terry L. I do want to give some shout outs to our partners on ODX.TV. We have Elizabeth Pitts. We have Debbie Smith. Sorry. We have Tina Garcia from Kansas City. We have Kathy Riggs from Georgia.
Let's go.
We have Georgette Thompson. I'm going to try to hit all these really quickly. We got Sherry Morgan. She's in house. We have Eldel Mar. I'm not going to say the last name. Thank you for partnering with us. We have Monica Bradley. We have Melissa Trujillo from Lakewood, Colorado. Ooh. We have Vicky Hodge from North Carolina. We have Ivy from Garland, Texas. We have Mandy Pena, Kim. Thank you so much for partnering with us. You guys are making a difference. And I love how we have different states from all over the world that have partnered with us. And this is our ODX people. These are our ODX tribe. And I know we still have people coming in from Maryland. We have Linda Brand. Oh, yeah. We have Troy Brewer.
Troy Brewer saying, hey,
kids. Oh, my gosh. Wait. He is online.
Are you watching,
We
Pastor?
Miss you, Pastor Troy. Thank you so much. Please let us know where you're watching.
From
watching.
Canada.
Yeah. Where are you watching?
From
where
Canada.
Are you, Pastor
from
Troy?
From Canada. Wow.
Wow.
Canada.
All right.
When you literally say where you're from.
Wait, did he go to Canada?
I don't know.
I'm not even still
on this thing. We've all been like, Troy. Don't forget to comment. Don't forget to share. When you comment and you share, this is us being the hands and feet of Jesus. Also, we want to remind everybody that when you comment and you share, you are getting in the fight. And this is a way that we could rescue, we could save children. And also, we want to remind everybody watching, if you need prayer anytime during the podcast or after the podcast, we have a 24/7 prayer line. We have people waiting for you that have been fasting, that have been praying, that have been interceding and are waiting to pray with you. Don't think that you are alone. You are not alone. I love that we have that. Even Pastor Troy calls in. I call in. These women and men are literally weekly, daily. We even have people calling in at midnight with testimony, with miracles. Mm. Please call us with on the number on the lower thirds, 877-413-0888. You are not alone, and you have people, and this is your tribe.
This is your tribe. Mm-hmm. And I love our tribe so much. We're a bunch of wild, I forget, what does Pastor Troy call us?
Wild bunch, I don't know.
Like Holy Spirit hillbillies. I mean, listen, I'm a city girl, I'm a Philly girl, which Tony Merkel is going to be joining us in a little bit. He's also from Philly, mm-hmm. I don't despise my roots, but literally, like living in Texas, I don't know. I'm starting to become the tech, I'm really like identifying with the Texas life.
Because you dress like
Texas. So yeah, I will always love the Philly side, but listen, I'm a Texas hillbilly. I'm a Holy Spirit hillbilly now. So I'll just say it. I just don't have the accent yet.
Yeah. I don't think
someone's
we're gonna
probably
get
laughing you at me will, somewhere that
you will start saying certain words. I think being with PT so long, you'll start saying like, wait, how did that come? What happened?
Out of my mouth.
It's kind of contagious.
I love it.
What do you think?
I do think, yeah, colloquialisms definitely are contagious.
Colloquialisms.
Oh,
my gosh.
There you go. I keep watching to see if Pastor Troy is going to be talking
to you. He told us where he was.
Where is he?
He said he's somewhere in Canada.
He said, look it up. Man.
Oh, he did? He said,
where? Bouchard Gardens?
Oh. The shark garden. Okay. Oh, yeah. Don't get out of the boat. If you're at the shark garden, let's just
Come back in one piece.
Yes. Come back in one piece. Eat some oysters for us. Mm-hmm. Don't tell my Jewish friends that I'm telling you to do that. But listen, I love me some oysters. All right. Okay. Let's get to the show, guys. We've got, first of all, some ministry updates, and we want to let you guys know what's going on within the house before we bring Tony in, because we're going to bring him in pretty soon here, because whenever he's on, there's so much to talk about and so much to cover, so we want to make sure that we spend time with him. But tonight at Open Door Church, Pastor Ryan is going to be preaching. It's going to be so good. It's always so good. Currently, he's dressed up as a pirate, though, in like full makeup. He's going to have to maybe he won't.
I don't know.
Take it off before he preaches, unless he's going to preach as Jack Sparrow. We'll find out.
That'll be fun.
But you never know what's going to happen at Open Door Church, guys. So make sure you're tuning in if you can't join us in person. Tune in tonight. That'll be at 7 p.m. Central Time. It's also going to be family night. So if you're in the area, bring the kids. They're going to be in the service tonight. We're going to have food out there. It's going to be a whole community fellowship, fun family. I mean, this is like the Wednesday night to come to if you are in the Burleson area. So definitely don't miss out on it. And let's continue to pray for Pastor Troy and Pastor Leanna as they are away on their trip, especially if they are hanging out in a shark garden. I don't know what that is, but I'm just saying, let's just give them a little extra prayer on their trip, that they would come back refreshed and with a fresh revelation. Pastor Troy actually sent me a voice note yesterday talking about his new sermon series a bit.
Wow.
And we're not going to announce it yet, but man, it's going to be so, so good. And a little teaser, he's going to be talking about when God shows up in places you don't expect him to.
Wow.
I'm really, really excited about that. So, because I'm sure he has many stories of that actually happening. So it's going to be a really great sermon series. Pastor, we can't wait till you're back. But also, guys, listen, the work that we do never stops. Pastor Troy might be on vacation. I guarantee you that while he is gone, he's taking phone calls about children needing to be rescued. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, yes. When the authorities call him, whether they're in Mexico or the Amazon or in Africa, if they're calling Pastor Leanna and saying, hey, do we have room for two more babies? We just found two more orphan babies in a field. This happens all the time, guys, in Africa. And what do we say? We say yes to those kids. Our babies home in Africa has, like, I think it's 90 babies, almost 90 babies by now. Our homes, we have over 50 safe homes all over the world, guys. And we rescued a 12-year-old girl just this past week. A 12-year-old little girl, guys, who was being lured away, who had been lured away by someone who was much older, under the guise of a relationship. I mean, she was 12, and here she thought she was in love. She obviously didn't know better because she's a kid. And the authorities were able to get her, to find her, and give her to us. So she is safe. Praise the Lord. But this is the work that we do. We do all this media. We do this podcast. We do church so that we can rescue kids, guys. And we are doing it every single day. And when we say yes to rescuing a kid, we are saying yes to $1,200 a month. That's around what it costs. Sometimes it's much more than that because a lot of these kids come with disabilities and issues and trauma and drug addictions, things like that. And we walk them through all of it. We walk them through the rehab. We partner with them literally through adulthood when we say yes to someone. And so when you partner with us, you are helping us continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So I just want to encourage you, if you've been looking for a place to sow your seed on good soil, you have found it. It is here. Let me assure you. And if you feel it on your heart to get involved today, we have a bunch of different ways to give. But Pastor Chris, why don't you just let people know we have some specials for those who are feeling the need to sow into this ministry right now. We've got some special little giveaways for you. So why don't you let them know?
Yeah, definitely want to say, like, if you're looking for a place to get involved or you've been watching for some time, you're like, should I get involved? I want to challenge you, stop waiting. Because right now there are literally thousands of kids all over the world waiting to be rescued. And it takes you, it takes me, it takes all of us to make a difference in their life. Today, we do have some special giveaways. Like Shay said, today for $5,000, we're giving away lifetime membership to ODX. And what that includes is our New Beginnings Conference, our ODX nights, all these different things, all these events that happen throughout the year. You get that for lifetime, as well as all the content that is available on ODX.TV. Also, for $1,000, you get 4 tickets to this year's New Beginnings Conference, Stage 3 for a year. If you give $365, that's $1 a day. You get a book, 2 tickets to the New Beginnings Conference, and Stage 2 access for a year. Also, today, we're giving away, for $50, a book, study guide, and a prayer card. So if you are looking to get in the fight and decide to make a difference in a child's life somewhere all over the world, a child that you may never see on this side of eternity, but you're going to help change their story and go after the destiny that God has for you and them, call us today during the polls for any of those great opportunities for you to get jump in and make a difference all over the world.
Yeah, and you can call that number, 877-413-0888. You can also go to troybrewer.com if you prefer to give online, and you can also snail mail us. A lot of people use snail mail still, and that's fine. We accept it. We love receiving your letters. I mean, Pastor Troy gets fan mail. He gets all kinds of mail, and we read it and we go through it. So if you send a gift or a donation via snail mail, that will definitely get into the right hands. And we are so thankful. And, you know, $5,000 a month, Pastor Troy felt it on his heart to start putting that number out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people have been responding to it because $5,000 a month, that's right around what it costs to support one of our safe homes monthly.
Yeah.
And so you can know, just have that in your mind, like, man, if I can send a gift of $5,000 a month, that can actually go to supporting an entire safe home that houses, our one in Africa has like 80 babies in it. Our ones in Mexico, I think they're around 20, 30 kids. Mm-hmm. So I could be wrong, give or take, but that's a big deal to be able to support one of those homes. And the lasting impact, the kingdom impact that you're making is just, it's for eternity. It really is, Chris, how you said that. I love that. So listen, speaking of eternity, speaking of kingdom stuff was happening at the Capitol last week. Pastor Troy was there.
Yep.
Wow. And he was there with the national
faith leaders.
Yeah, the faith leaders board. And I'm really excited, actually, because we're going to have one of the members on the show next week. And she was there with Pastor Troy. She's actually in this video. But another member of the Faith Leaders Board that we're about to see in this video was Sharon Bolin, who was on The Pulse just a few weeks ago. We also interviewed her at NRB. So if you like what you see in this video you're about to see, go to odx.tv because we have interviews with her. And she is a powerhouse as well. So this video is kind of getting some traction, and Pastor Troy sent it to us, and he was like, you guys got to see this, because basically they were standing outside the Capitol, and they were praying, and we are spirit-filled people here. They were praying in tongues, and I understand that can be a kooky thing to people. Some people call that kooky. It can be because people are unfamiliar with it.
Yeah.
I'm not calling it that. I'm just saying it can appear as that way. If you don't know what it's about, if you've never heard it, listen, it can be foreign. But I assure you, it's real.
It's real.
And to be honest, watching this video, I don't feel anything weird about it. They were making declarations over the Capitol, at the Capitol. And I'm going to show you guys this video. Then we're going to come back and talk about it. And we're going to also talk about what the media is saying about this video. And I want to know what you guys think. Watch this.
We just thank you right now, Lord, from the east, the west, the north, and the south. You will shake America with your power and your glory. We cancel every assignment of the enemy. This nation was birthed to be one nation under God, and we are standing on the soil of the White House, and we are declaring your word. Every place that our foot will trod, you will give it to us, and we are taking the land. We thank you, O Lord. You have brought us to the kingdom for a time such as this, and this is the time. And so we declare right now from the capital of our nation that America will come back to God. We will come back to God. Nothing will stop this nation. And we speak right now by the authority of heaven. You told us to bring heaven to earth. Heaven is being released through your people right now. We thank you for the unity of this body that we have right now, that there is strength in unity, just like the 120 in the upper room when we were gathered together and the Holy Spirit fell. We thank you that we are gathered now in this century and this time for a purpose. We pray protection over President Trump. We pray legions of angels guiding and protecting him. We thank you every time he gets in an airplane that there will never, ever be any attack on his life. He will live out his days for what you have written for him. And he will be a leader that this world will never forget, because he will be remembered for turning America back to God. We thank you and praise you today. We declare Jehovah Sabaoth. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let them that hate him flee before him. And it is time. And we are declaring today that no stronghold, it doesn't matter what it is, it cannot face the power of our Almighty God. Because it's in the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall declare that you and you alone are Lord. So we declare today again, we will see a manifestation of your power and your glory. And you are about to do something that is unprecedented. So we thank you and praise you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
I mean, I got to say, I watched that and I see a powerful time of prayer.
Amen.
And I've been in some spiritual, I've seen some spiritually out there things. I wouldn't consider it compared to what I've seen, I wouldn't consider that to be that.
No.
But, you know, there are these articles, this article in particular that Pastor Troy sent us, it called that sinister. I mean, it was quoting, you know, where Sharon Bolin was saying, you know, we're calling to cancel every assignment of the enemy. We're taking the land. Heaven is being released through your people. This author is calling that sinister.
No, not at all. Like, I mean, what? I think, you know, it's just awful. But I think as a growing up Pentecostal, growing up in a very conservative Pentecostal home and church, I think we're all honest when it comes to praying in tongues. It is weird, but it's one thing to be weird for attention. It's one thing to be out there weird and you're trying to get attention of other people. But it's another thing entirely when you're being weird with God's intention. And that's what praying in tongues is. You're praying with intention. You're praying through the things that you don't understand in the spiritual. And it might be odd, it might be weird. And it's, you know, and I get it. Other Christians kind of might feel the same way. And I think that's okay. But I think it's dangerous when you start crossing the line. They're like, hey, this is, you know, this is bad. This is evil. And it's, you know, Christians are so good at shooting themselves and shooting each other. It's like, no. We have a real enemy out there that we need to be intentionally going after. And that's what Sharon's doing in this. Like, she's going after in the supernatural for sure.
Yeah, and I honestly, I think it's ridiculous. In this particular article, it calls Sharon's prayer performative. And I'm like, how is this? No. She's in a small group. They're standing in a parking lot. They're not even standing up on the platform, declaring it to, like, in the front of the steps. They're in a group together. And I heard my pastor with his tongue talking too. That was definitely Pastor Troy with his tongues going there. But like they were taking spiritual ground. And that is part of the authority that we have as believers and as followers of the Holy Spirit. And for such a time as this, you know, and I pray that this is a time where America is turning back to God, like she said. I pray this is a time where God can arise and our enemies can be scattered.
I love what Isaiah 5:20 says, that the people are going to call evil good and good evil. I love that. That's when she was actually declaring, I was literally crying, because you could feel, I'm very we have to be very sensitive to what the Spirit's saying, and my heart and my body yearns for the spiritual. But you could feel you could feel what she was saying. That's what the Bible says. The people are going to call evil good and good evil. And they don't have it. They don't know what else to write about. I guess the people that are writing in the media don't even know what to talk about anymore, because they have nothing to talk about. And I love yesterday what we talked about. I know this time in about how people change the narrative. They're just wanting to stir something up. They want to start something up. And we're seeing that. That's one way that we could say that they're just trying to change the narrative.
That verse, I feel like, is so relevant to what we see just across headlines these days. with the narrative, calling evil good and good evil. It literally is, it's so black and white. Like, it's not even gray area.
No.
Yeah. It's not, it's literally black and white. Good, evil, evil, good. Mm-hmm. And it is, this is a true example of that. But the good thing is, is if you know us, you know that we really don't care about what the narrative is. We stand on the Bible and we believe in the supernatural. We believe in those gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that they are gifts to us from the Lord that empower us. They are weapons of spiritual warfare. And this is a time where we are needing to arm ourselves spiritually. And
I don't know. Yeah. When I think about my relationship with God, it's like, you know, there's things that happen in scripture. You're like, wow, what is that? And it's like, you know what? If God's got something for me, I want it. If it really is a gift, if he is our heavenly Father, he looks at us as his children. He wants to give us good gifts. And if God wants to give it to me, I want it. I don't want to miss out on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's how I feel. I don't want to miss out on it. Yeah. If it's a gift that God has for us, it's for a purpose. And I don't want to miss out on it. And so this is the perfect transition for our guest today because we have Tony Merkle in the house. He went from literally being a truck driver to a trailblazer. He is the mastermind behind Merkle Media. He launched the Confessionals podcast, which is a podcast that dives all into the blurry things, the strange, the supernatural, the unexplained, and he confronts it all head on. He launched his podcast, and it seemingly overnight got hundreds of thousands of listeners. And Pastor Troy has been a huge fan. And that's actually how I heard of Tony Merkle, because Pastor Troy came in one day talking about it. And since then, he's become a friend of this house. We've filmed a show with him that's going to be coming out in the fall, which we're going to show a teaser for that a little bit later on. But let's welcome Tony Merkle to the house. Tony, it's so good to see you.
It's good to see you too. Thank you.
Also a Philly boy.
Yeah. Go Birds.
Yes. Well, Pastor Chris is also wearing, you got to do the shot. Can you, Taylor, can pull up Pastor Chris's outfit? His shirt, he wore that for you. Right.
Yeah, I did.
I love it. I love it.
We all try to coordinate, but somebody backed out the last minute.
I wasn't feeling the Phillies hat today. Oh. But
just ready for a vacation.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. We're so happy to have you, Tony. Man, so much has been going on. Really in the headlines over the past few days, weeks. What is your just like bird's eye view take on where we are as a nation when it comes to what you're seeing in the headlines?
Yeah, I feel like, well, it's easy for me because everything kind of points towards supernatural existence. Yeah. And I just really feel like right now we're seeing globally a spiritual awakening. And as you see a spiritual awakening, you're going to see the pushback of the enemy. And I think that's what's starting to manifest right now. And so it's not meant to be easy. And we should, well, up to this point, we should have been preparing for battle and warfare, because I think that's what's coming to our doorstep. As Christians, we need to be prepared for the enemy's tactics. And sometimes that comes in the form of warfare. Sometimes that comes in the form of lies. And sometimes that comes in the form of personal attacks within your home, whether it's your relationship with your spouse, your kids, to outright demonic attacks that happen to people constantly. So I think the more we kind of walk through our lives, understanding that every day we wake up, we're engaging in a fight. Like this is not cruise control time. This is warfare. The more you realize that and you start walking in that, the more you don't really get caught off guard by things. You just kind of nod and like, yep, that kind of was expected. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah. So tell me, how did you get started in all of this? Like, what did you have? Was it because you talk about everything, you dive in. I mean, I feel like you leave no stone unturned when it comes to the supernatural. And I'm so curious how you even, your eyes were open to this whole world in the first place. Like, was it through an experience or just an interest, a general interest?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was raised with a grandfather who told me stories. I heard stories from my dad, stories of, you know, I think he did a lot of different jobs, but I think he was mostly a washer dryer repairman, you know, just a guy. And he got saved and his wife got saved, my grandmother, and they started taking the family to church, and he started participating in men's ministries. And then he's, you know, they started asking him to teach at different, you know, men's ministries or whatever. Hey, can you step in this week? And it progressed to a point where he was preaching at revival, like Big Tent revival services. And it wasn't like he was, you know, it wasn't Mario Murillo. He just, they would say, hey, you know, we're going up to Emmaus this weekend and we're wondering if you could come and, you know, give a message. And he'd go with several other ministers and he would go up and give a message. And during those times, he would see miraculous things. You know, he would pray for people and healings would happen, sight, hearing restored. Like the first time he didn't even know it happened in the moment. He just prayed for the person. And then later on in a meeting, somebody came to him and said, hey, you know, that person you prayed for, and he's like, kind of, I prayed for so many people, I don't remember who I prayed for.
Yeah.
But somebody's hearing and sight had been restored. My dad was present as a little kid. I don't think he totally remembers it, but he was there when my grandfather prayed for somebody on stage and their leg grew right there on stage.
Wow.
And I always tell this part of the story because I think it's important. And I think my grandfather would honor it too. He told me on his deathbed that he regretted what he did that day because he prayed, the healing happened, the leg grew, and then he felt like he tested the Holy Spirit. Instead of being grateful, he actually prayed that the leg would retract and then come back out to show that it was God. And though it happened that way, it did happen, afterwards he felt convicted about it. And that kind of perspective has shaped me as a person where I am super, super careful and cautious with how I operate and do things because I am terrified of not only, you know, what it could be perceived as by other people, but, you know, am I stepping out of line with you, God, you know?
Yeah.
But that was like the start of my supernatural understandings of just like, yeah, this, there, because I believe my grandfather, I trust him, and he's telling me that this happened. I'm like, okay, this is real stuff. And then I had my own run-in with a Satanist one day that really kind of really set things off to a another level of understanding for me. I mean, I could certainly go into that if you want me to do
well,
that.
Well, I'm
now.
Curious. I want to hear it.
Yeah, that's going to be.
You can't leave us on that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I just ran into a Satanist.
I ran into a Satanist. Yeah.
I mean, so I guess I have so many experiences with things anymore. It's hard to remember everything. So I tend to go back to the layup stuff where it's like, oh, yeah, that's kind of where everything started for me, right? But I in 2014, it was March 29, 2014, I rededicated my life to the Lord. I radically changed individual after that day. I had a direct encounter with God that just changed me. And when you had that experience, which everybody, well, you guys have, it changes you and you start operating differently. And I couldn't contain myself. There was part of me that, I was going back as a truck driver to work on Monday, and I'm like, I don't know how to be Trucker Tony anymore. Like, these guys expect me to be something I'm not. Like, I literally changed so fast. And so I had this whole identity thing, but over time, I just became who I was. And within a week or two, like, it didn't take long.
Yeah.
I was just like bubbling overjoyed and filled with the love of the Lord. And I started talking to the people who were receiving freight off my truck and, you know, building relationships with them. Cause I was known for being a really mean person, believe it or not.
Like, really?
I was, oh, very mean. Listen, if you're from Philly, think classic Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
To a little bit higher level. I was actually told by truckers that I worked with in the industry that I was a really mean guy. And I was like, man, I don't want to be a mean guy. I didn't remember.
Philly guys are calling you mean.
You must have been. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize how mean I was. But so I'm talking to these people that are receiving my freight. And this one place I always went to, and I started talking to the guy who always received my freight. Every time I went there, it's the same guy. And he starts telling me his life story. And I'm just letting him tell his story. Every time I'm in there, it's like he's giving me a new chapter of his book. And we get to like more current times. And it was a very dramatic story. And I said to him, you know, what's the next chapter of your life? Like, what's next? And he said, I'm probably going to blow my brains out. And I didn't know what to say to that other than, man, God's got plans for your life. You don't want to do that. And when I said that to him, he kind of looked at me like he never even heard the word God before, which was very weird to me. He started asking questions that I just didn't comprehend that somebody that grew up in America could even ask. Like, you know, like I understand like not understanding who Jesus was, but you never heard of Jesus? You never heard of God? Like that's weird. And so he follows me out to my truck and he's asking these questions and I'm just like, I'm answering, you know, I'm just doing the best I can. And, you know, I had to get going, but he asked me to come to his house that Saturday to talk to him more about this God thing. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And the way he was asking questions, like this dude's coming to Christ this Saturday, check, like it's done. It's a wrap. And so that I left there on a Tuesday and I was very excited. And then throughout the rest of the week, I just started feeling God, the Holy Spirit speaking to me and preparing me for a very dark spiritual warfare. It was that very thing. It was just like very dark spiritual warfare. Mm. And I didn't have hands-on experience with that stuff. I didn't know what. Like, I was like, what are you talking about? He's going to come and know you this Saturday. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And I went to my church that Saturday before I got to the guy's house because I was so convinced that he was going to become a Christian that I was like, he's going to need a Bible. I went and got a Bible at the church, and I talked to my pastor about it, the associate pastor. And I shared with him what I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, and he tried to rationalize it to me as, you know, like, you know, every time somebody comes to the Lord, there's spiritual warfare involved, and I understood that part, but I just didn't feel like that was totally what we were talking about here. Mm-hmm. So I go to the guy's house. I get there at 11 a.m., just like I said I would, and I knock on the door and nobody answers. And I've probably knocked a couple times. And then the door seemed to open by itself. And it's completely black in the house. I literally peek my head physically in the doorway and I say, hello. And he steps out from behind the door and he goes, you came. And I said, yeah, I came. I told you I'd be here. And wow. He goes, most people don't come. And and knowing the story now, it's like, that should have been a clue to me that, like, what do you mean most people? Like, have you done this before? Like, what is
going to be?
But I always say this part, which is I don't have hair, so I didn't have anything to catch that part. It just went right over my head.
You're like, oh, my goodness.
So I step in the house, and, you know, like I said, the Holy Spirit was preparing me that week and speaking to me. And I go in, and there's pinup girls all over the wall in the living room like it's wallpaper. And that stood out to me, obviously. And my first thought was, there's no female that lives in this house. Like, I was like, this guy lives in
my house.
And that just, you know, I walked through the living room because he said to sit at the dining room table. And this was in Birdsboro, Pennsylvania. It was like an old townhouse. And so you go in, you first step right into the living room, and then on the other side of the living room is the dining room, and there's this little like built-in bookshelf to the wall that came out to kind of separate the two rooms. And he told me to sit at the dining room table, so I'm walking over, and as I approach the bookshelf, I feel the Holy Spirit just pulling my attention there to be aware of the bookshelf. And I'm like, okay. So I know God's been preparing me for something. I don't know what. Going to this guy's house that morning, it was a Saturday, my wife, who I had shared with her what I felt God saying, was very concerned. And she was saying to me, like, you know, you need to tell me what this guy's address is, what's his number, what's his name, when are you gonna be back? Like, oh, so I'm like, you need to chill, girl.
You're like calm down.
This is coming to Christ and homeboy can take care of himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, guys, I'm good. And
this sounds like a setup to a true crime show.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
So I go and I approach the table, and he told me he took the table that I was supposed to sit at, but the Holy Spirit then took my attention from the bookshelf to the table that I'm standing in front of. And this happens really fast, but the Holy Spirit told me this, where to sit at the table. And I was to sit in the chair. There's two chairs. And I was to sit in the chair between the table and the window, the wall behind me, and not to sit in the chair between the table and the doorway. And so I did that. I sit down and we start talking, and we're talking about, I don't know, just a bunch of stuff. It wasn't, I just remember it wasn't Bible stuff. And I was just letting it kind of happen naturally. This was my first time ever doing a podcast, right? Like, this is before my podcast. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a podcast yet. This was actually, I'm glad I went through this beforehand. So I'm sitting there talking with him, and the topic of God comes up, and we're starting to kind of get to that point. And leading up to this point, we were going back and forth between his kitchen and his dining room. His kitchen, he had kind of like set up as almost like a workshop, like he, because he built RC cars. But he, his diet consisted, if I remember correctly, of Mountain Dew, like Doritos and ramen noodles. And like he said that physically he can't eat anything else.
I literally pictured Doritos. When you said his diet consisted of, in my head, I'm serious, I saw a red bag of Doritos.
Yeah,
so I'm getting the picture that you're painting.
Yeah, you're definitely right. Yeah. No woman lived in this house.
No woman lived in this house.
And so like I looking back on that, that's another sign, I would say, of spiritual oppression at least.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting at the table, and it starts turning to more of a godly conversation. And he says to me, you know, do you believe in ghosts? And at this time, I didn't have the podcast I have. I didn't really think about this stuff a whole lot. If anything, if you want to talk to me about Bigfoot, we can definitely do that. But, you know, outside of that, like I'm pretty, I don't really care mode. And I said, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, they say that in the Bible that they thought Jesus was a ghost walking on water. So I guess there's some kind of merit to it. And he goes, okay. He said, there's seven ghosts in this house. And I said, oh, okay. You know, and he gave me an explanation as to how the ghost came about. But I to this day, I can't remember exactly what he said, because the next thing that he said is what sticks out in my head. It had something to do with the basement, and he invited me into the basement to check out whatever was connected to the ghosts. And that basement was right behind him, that door that God told me not to sit in front of. And and I just said to him, I said, sure, let's go. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that.
I was like, what?
Sometimes the me now, I probably would say, let's do this. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. You have your camera out recording.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I have a poster of one of my documentaries I've done on the wall behind me. I kind of go on adventures, you know?
Yeah.
But then I said, no, man, I said, we're going to stay here. I'd just rather stay upstairs. And he said, okay. He kind of brushed it off, and, you know, it wasn't awkward, too awkward, I suppose. And I start sharing the gospel with him. And he says to me, you know, he's jiving with this, and I can physically see that he's like kind of getting antsy in his seat as I'm talking to him about Jesus. And I'm like, this dude, like, he's ready to accept Christ. Like, let's go. Like, this is my first one. Check. Let's see. Like, I'm going to heaven now. And so I said, no, man, you ready to accept Christ in your life? We can pray. And he said, yeah, I think I am. And so we just do a simple prayer. And afterwards, after I say amen, he sits there, and he's kind of like just staring, and then he stands up, and he starts shaking his hands like this. And he's like, I feel this energy just rushing through my body. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
whoa,
okay.
You know, like, I was like, I've never seen it. I had done street ministry in Philly, Norristown, like these the surrounding cities. And I was like, I've done street ministry where, like, I'm talking to like drug dealers and drunks coming out of bars at midnight. I had never seen somebody react like that to the gospel. And I was just like, this dude's weird, but okay. You know, I was like, I told him, I was like, that's the Holy Spirit, bro. It's just, you know, God, do it. Praise him. And so he sits down. Or no, he says to me, I just want to hug you. And I said, all right.
I'm scared.
I stood up, and I'm thinking it's going to be a bro hug, you know, just like, you know, two to the back.
Yeah.
Kind of
thing. Yeah.
Hey, thanks, dude. He comes in and just presses his whole front of his body against mine, like it like squeezes every inch of him as possible against me. And he puts his head on my left shoulder, and he exhaled. He goes, ah. And I was like, well, that's new, you know?
Interesting. Oh my gosh, Tony.
I'm like, this dude is weird, but
this is a weird guy. Okay.
Oh my goodness. Christ, that's what I was like. I was like, thank God. Like, you know, like even the weirdos get put in the kingdom. Let's go. And and so I sit down, we start chopping it up, and he does it a second time. He gets up and he starts shaking and feels this energy, and he wants to hug me again. And I'm like, all right, yeah, sure, man. Then I get up.
I'm nice, Tony, now.
I'm bubbling with Jesus. Like, I'm like, yo, like me and Jesus, like, this was like, I was at a spiritual high in my life. Like, Like, honestly, like, I was experiencing a new level of, like, it was like delayed reactions to my life, like, where I had not experienced God for so long, for so much, that at this season of my life, it was like every day the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. I was like just scooping it up. And so I go to this guy's house on my own personal spiritual high. Like, you can't touch me right now. And he comes in for that second hug and he does the same exact thing, identical. And at this point, I'm just like, whatever, dude, this dude's weird, but let's keep talking about Jesus. We sit down and we're talking, and he goes, hey, I got to tell you something. And I said, what's that? And he goes, I'm a member of the Church of Satan. And I was like, okay. Like, I was like, that's what God was meaning. You know, like, I was like, strong spiritual warfare. Okay, this dude used to be a member of the Church of Satan, but praise God, he saved by grace now. And he gets up and he walks over to the bookshelf that I mentioned earlier, and he picks up like, I'd say two, and it was more than one, so it was like two or three books that were satanic books. And he puts it on the table in front of me. Now he's standing to my right side, like right next to me, and he goes, I want you to take these out of my house for me. And I was like, yeah, I took my Bible, I set it on top of those books, and I said, yeah, I'll burn them. And when I said that to him, he goes, like, he's standing over me and he goes, no, and he yells at me like that.
Whoa.
And I'm just like, yo, I'm gonna knock this dude out. Like, I'm not, like, my wife's gonna need to know the guy's address because I'm gonna be arrested. Like, you know, like, I was not happy, because like that at that point, like, that's the grumpy side of Tony starting to kick in now.
Like, and I was all right, like, I've reached my limit of weirdness in this moment.
I told him, I said, listen, man, like, that's fine, but you don't need to yell at me. I was like, I'm going to hit this guy in his own house. And so he sits down, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I just don't like when people burn books. And I'm like, okay, weirdo.
What?
I was just like, whatever, man. Like, you're I was at this guy's house for 3 hours. This was a 3-hour ordeal. So wow. I'm actually giving you the short version.
Wow.
The third time he stands up, starts shaking his hands violently. He says, I feel this energy just rushing through my body. And he comes in for that hug again. And he does the same exact thing. And after that hug, I was exhausted. And I said, man, I gotta go. And he's like, all right. So I leave, I take those books out of the house. And I walk to my car, I get in, I turn it on, I leave. And I remember looking in the rearview mirror as I left his house, like looking at his house in the mirror. And I felt different. I felt real different. And I didn't know how to explain it. I still don't have the right words. But part of me felt like I had something with me. Other parts of me felt like I left something of me there. And I think it was more than likely I had something with me that was blocking me from the connection I had with God for so long. Well, for so long, I think it was probably like, I don't know, a year maybe. But like, I felt like there was something, it was something that was off. And I left this house. I called my head pastor. I told him what happened. I said, I had these books and I don't feel comfortable taking them to my house. I asked him if I could put him in the dumpster at the church. He said I could. I threw him in the dumpster at the church. I go home and, you know, I'm like, that was some weird experience, but praise God he came to Christ, because that's where my mind was still. I was like, this dude came to Christ. And so I told him, I was like, come on out to church. And he didn't show up. And weeks after week, he doesn't come to church. And I was emailing him. He didn't have a cell phone. He only had a landline and an email address. So I'm emailing him because he wouldn't answer his phone. And he eventually replied. He said, I tried it, but the Christian thing didn't work for me. And he said, talked about some kind of ancient religion that he'd looked into. I'm like, all right, bro, whatever. But every time I went into where he works after that, for like another year, I saw him and he unloaded my truck and we just did kind of small talk, but like we still talked. And I'm on the assumption that he came to Christ. He's just trying to work out his salvation, you know? And, it was about a year goes by and I was on my lunch break at work and I was talking to a friend of mine about this story and I kind of related to him, and it was like the Holy Spirit just popped me and it like a light bulb goes on in my head. And I realize what happened that day. Because when I left that guy's house, the next morning I wake up and I go downstairs to read my word. I didn't have kids at the time. So like, there's anybody who has kids knows that there's an adjustment period from having kids or not having kids to having kids when it comes to your devotional time. I used to be able to wake up in the morning, like 2-3 hours before I had to be at work, and just scoop that stuff up and eat it like a steak, you know, and just like, there was time limits. We could just me and you, God. And so I wake up in the morning and I'm just there for however long, no time limits. I don't got to be in work till 6. We're good, you know? And I don't hear the Holy Spirit connecting with me. I don't feel the Holy Spirit connecting me like he did just yesterday. And I'm like, that's weird. And a week goes by, a month goes by, a couple months goes by, and I am not hearing the Holy Spirit like I once did. And I don't understand why. Like, I'm like, what did I do? Like, what is going on? And I started getting frustrated, and I never made an intentional decision, I'd say. But I remember this was going on for a while. I remember the one morning I woke up and I sat down totally not expecting to meet God in that moment. I was like, I haven't felt the Holy Spirit speak to me in a long time. I don't know what's going on. But I was very frustrated, and I sit there and I'm reading. And again, I just feel divorced from God in a sense, spiritually. I was like, what is going on? Like, I'm not questioning my salvation. Like, Christ is King 100% always. I just don't understand why I'm not hearing his voice right now. And so I put my Bible away that day. I closed my Bible and I go upstairs to get ready for work. And I just knew that tomorrow I'm not waking up early. I'm going to sleep in, because if you're not going to hear me and talk to me, then I'm out, man. Like I could sleep in and have some rest. And I was frustrated. But I mean, I wasn't questioning my salvation. I want to stress that. I was still going to church and all that stuff. It's just I'm not making this extra step if you're just going to ignore me anymore. And I was just a grumpy Tony. and so that week or that year goes by, and then all of a sudden I'm telling that story to my friend, and the light bulb goes on, and it's like the Holy Spirit, like. And it's like, bro, where you been, man? You know, like, all of a sudden I feel the Holy Spirit speak to me. And I was like, I know this voice. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me that man tricked me to go to his house that day. And he had no intentions to come to Christ. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he was trying to release a demonic spirit on me.
Wow.
And in that time I had started my podcast and I started learning some of this stuff, you know? And so like the light bulb goes on. I'm like, holy crap. And now I'm mad. I'm like, yo, I am going to rock this dude when I go. I'm going to get rocked. I don't care. Like I was like, I can get another trucking job. Like this dude's going to hear it. And I go in there probably like the next week. And for the first time ever, he was not there to receive my freight. I'm like, huh. So the next time I go in, he's not there. Next time, not there. And I'm like, well, where's Jay at? And like, oh, he was just here. Where did he go? And then time after time, he's just not there. And eventually Jay just moves departments. And I'm like, yo, this is not an act. I've seen this guy dozens of times, dozens. And now all of a sudden he's not here when I connect the dots after I realized what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
And I, my definition on this whole story that I'm probably telling way too long is that, what he did to me that day brought demonic spiritual oppression into my life. And I didn't know how to define it. Yeah. I didn't know how to combat it because there's nobody in my life to teach me that stuff. And so I got used to the feeling of having demonic oppression on me for years. So I'm going to the podcast and the dots were connected. I'm starting to hear the Holy Spirit, but not like it used to be, but you're speaking to me and that's good. Like, that's all I need. I just need to know you're hearing me, man. And years goes on until last August. I was at I want to stress, I got used to the oppression, the weight, spiritual weight that I was carrying. Wow. It was numb to it. It's been so long. I just didn't realize. And then I was at Alan DiDio's Armed Media Conference, and I spoke the first day on podcasting, And I, you know, I tell the whole room, you know, what I do. And I'm like, hey, I'm Tony, I'm weird. And there's these two guys that came up to me afterwards. And the one guy asked me if I ever have any spiritual oppression or attacks because of what I do. And normally I'm a closed off person, especially people that I don't know. I'm like, nah, man, God's got me. I'm good. You know, like he called me into this. I'm good. But there was just like, I was getting beat up that day. Like David Diga Hernandez spoke. And like, while he was speaking, like I was biting my tongue. I was like, what is going on? There's a stirring. And I just said to him, I said, yeah, man, like I got two witches that are after me right now, which at the time I did, which is a whole other story.
I love it. Once you had a Satanist home, the next story, you got two witches after you, the life of Tony.
But they're astral projecting. It's a whole thing.
We're going to go behind the veil in a second to talk about this more, but I think.
Shoot, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. This has been so good.
Let me just finish this off real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
He steps aside. He says, this is my friend Rob, who is a deliverance minister. He wants to pray for you. And Rob says, I want to pray a prayer of impartation on you that you would eyes to see and ears to hear the attack before it comes. I'm standing there. He starts praying for me, and I have my hands in my pockets because I'm a timid person when I'm in public. Like, to be honest with you, I'm just kind of low key. And he's like, you have to take your hands out of your pocket and receive this. I'm like, okay. So I put my hands out, my palms get warm, and I physically feel like it's a physical spiritual weight that was lifted off of me. And it wasn't until I think maybe that evening or the next day that I was like, I feel good, and I haven't felt this good since the morning I went to that guy's house.
Wow.
So that's my one of my supernatural experiences I've come.
Well, that's incredible. And what really hits me the most from that, Tony, is just that you were under the impression and you didn't realize it. I think sometimes when people think like of that type of spirit, they think of like what they see in movies. Oh, like someone who's possessed by a demon, their eyes are rolling back in their head. And not saying you were possessed, because I don't believe you were, but I believe the spirit of oppression was on you. And how many of us live our life under a spirit of oppression, not even realizing it? And I just thought as you were speaking that we needed to let people know, if you are feeling right now that you have been living under a spirit of oppression, maybe you've been depressed, you don't know why. Maybe you have just felt a heaviness and you don't know why. Maybe you can't pinpoint a moment where it all began. Or maybe you can, and you haven't been able to get out from under it. Call the number on your screen, 877-413-0888. We have people 24 hours a day that want to pray with you, that would love nothing more than declaring freedom over that bondage in your life right now, guys. We are living in a spiritual time. The weapons of our warfare, I mean, we are wrestling not against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against spiritual principalities, all of those things, guys. This is a very real battle that we are in the middle of, and you do not have to live your life under oppression. I know what that feels like as well. I went through a season of my life where I felt like I could not get out of an oppression, of a spirit of oppression. And I remember those days thinking, waking up being like, okay, so is this just my new norm? Is this what people talk about when they need to go on medication and when they need to, you know, okay, my levels are changing, so I need to get medicated now. And I know like that's a real thing for some people, but I think a lot of people, it's a spirit of oppression, and God does not want you to live that way. And so call the number 877-413-0888 and let us stand with you and believe and declare and speak healing over you, because we have people that want to do that with you today. So thank you, Tony, for saying that. Because I believe that people are going to experience freedom because of that testimony that you just shared. That is very eye-opening. And I'm excited. We're going to go behind the veil here in a second, and we're going to talk about more of those things, more of the blurry things. We got some questions that rolled in about some stuff. And I mean, it's like when you start opening the door and talking about this stuff, people have questions.
Yeah.
So we're going to dive into that in just a moment, Tony. But before we do, guys, let's do we have any final announcements before we sign off?
No, just tonight to tune in. We have family night. It's going to be amazing. Pastor Ryan has a word, and let's continue to pray for Pastor Troy and Pastor Leanna.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you also, not to mention, like, Tony is not just our guest today, but he's also a guest on the counter that is coming up fall.
Yes, we filmed this crazy show. If you have liked our conversation today, let me tell you, you're going to love The Counter that is going to be released this fall. The show is going to be released initially on YouTube, but the raw, unedited, uncut version of each episode will only be available on ODX.TV. So right now is your perfect opportunity to join ODX.TV as a stage two or stage three partner, because in just a moment, we're going to be jumping off of Facebook and YouTube, and we're going to be talking uncensored on ODX.TV behind the veil. So join us on ODX.TV if you haven't yet joined. Please do. And know that your money, your membership over there helps us to rescue more kids around the world every single day, guys. And we're going to leave you today with a special treat. We're going to leave you with a sneak peek of our brand new show coming this fall featuring our guest today, Tony Merkel. This is The Counter. Check this out.
We have spent two full days filming here, guys, and now we're going to begin the editing process. But the unedited version, guys, is going to be camped out at ODX.TV. Nations going against nations.
What we're seeing actually unleashed on the earth right now.
It's this hopeful expectation.
There's something charging directly at us.
Anytime the name of Jesus was mentioned, these beings would flee in terror.
Bell worship, sex magic, human trafficking, pornography. It's actually all a part of the very same things. And friends, we are not afraid to talk about it.